This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I'm incredibly proud to be an Over the Influence community member. When I became a member, I got a double dose of the podcast every week, now that I had access to the premium pod, and I also loved the in-person Zoom calls, basically just getting to know like-minded people. Personally, it's been just over a year since I changed my relationship with alcohol, and I've honestly never felt better. My head is clearer, my relationships with friends and family members are better, and overall in life I just have way more energy. Thankfully, I never had a rock bottom, but Over the Influence made me realize I didn't need one. It's never too late to change for the better. So thanks for being there for me, OTI, and keep up the great work.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this extra special, extra episode of Over the Influence. You may well have been sent this by a friend. Why? Because it is October and so many people are going to be dabbling with Sober October, which is utterly brilliant. So, welcome to Over the Influence. We are allegedly the world's biggest, fastest growing alcohol-free podcast, probably. We have just had 1,000. No, we haven't. See, I don't do maths. Beg your pardon. 100,000 downloads, 100,000 listens from people just like you. So welcome. Allow me to introduce ourselves to you if you are listening for the first time. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everybody calls me Shaz or Shazza. Married, 47 years old, nearly 48, three kids. I live in Lancashire, in the northwest of England. Just over 3 years ago, I decided to do what you are considering now, which was to take a short break from alcohol. I thought I would try 90 days booze-free. People laughed at me. In fact, they still do. Yet here I am, 3 years and counting, alcohol-free. It is hands down the best thing I have ever done in my life. To say it has been life-changing is an absolute understatement. So we're chuffed to bits to have you here. Thank you so much for listening. I don't do any of this on my own. I couldn't do any of this on my own. Allow me to introduce my glamorous co-host, Freddie, who is in New Zealand. Therefore, he is in the future.
Hello, Shazza. And hello, dear listeners. I am Freddie. I was originally from the UK. I moved to New Zealand about 6 months ago now. So in bang in the middle of the pandemic. And it just goes to show how much your life can change when you decide to take a break from alcohol. So I am 39. I live with my wife, Sarah, and my two boys who are aged 9, going on 29 and 6 years old. So look, I was an all or nothing drinker. I was work hard, play hard, party hard. I couldn't moderate. I didn't have an off switch. When I went for it, I absolutely tore the arse out of it. I used to have very high flying. It wasn't high flying. It was a very moderate high flying career in London, where it used to be, you know, the stereotypical, working in the city, going out every night, partying hard at the weekend. And I did this all the way through my 20s. And that was after heavy drinking at university as a teenager as well. Partied hard through my 20s and then through my 30s. And then I had kids. And then it was starting to become more and more difficult. My mental health was taking a battering. I was unfit. I was unhealthy. I hated looking at myself in the mirror. I hated this person that I was becoming. I became stressed. I became depressed. I became suicidal. And I really thought my life was not going to work out the way it had. So one morning, I woke up hungover as usual, had missed work as usual after a solo night out on a Tuesday night. And I thought, you know what? This isn't the way it's going to go. I knew I deserved a life less ordinary. I wanted to change my behaviours, and that's what I did. So after failing to stop drinking 1,000 times over 10 years, I finally found a way that worked. And that was almost 1,000 days ago. I haven't stopped living. I haven't looked back since. And when I stopped drinking, I started living. What came next was running across the Sahara Desert, breaking Guinness World Records, winning ultramarathons, publishing a book, moving halfway around the world, and all sorts of other cool stuff. But the most important thing was liking that person that I saw in the mirror. And the funnest part of not drinking has absolutely been part of Over the Influence and being part of the world's number one alcohol-free podcast, The Sober Rebellion. And I can't wait to share this episode with you. That was the world's longest introduction. Sorry.
That was. I just learned it all again. It was just marvellous.
Oh, exactly.
I love it.
I just read out the story.
And of course, we have got our producer, Ben, in charge of proceedings. He sort of keeps myself and Freddie in check. We go off on many, many tangents. I'm about to do that now. I'll rein it back in before Ben steps in. He is our producer. When we met Ben, he drank the beers and we didn't care. That was not an issue. However, what happened, Ben spent a lot of time editing mine and Frezzy's? Who's Frezzy? Mine and Frezzy's musings and spoutings and ramblings about the joy that is alcohol-free life. So much so, you're pretty sober yourself now, Ben.
Yeah, over 14 months alcohol-free now. It's a weird one. I mean, your stories are probably more common when you listen to a podcast like this. Shaz, you were the kind of wine o'clock mom, busy life, working, but also raising the kids. A glass of wine a night became two glasses of wine a night, etc. That's a story that you do hear quite a lot, and you read it quite a lot in the Quit Lit books. Freddie, you were the hardcore corporate, work hard, play hard machine. You know, and that's another story that you hear often as well. Mine's slightly different because some people call it middle lane drinker. Some people call it grey area drinker. Essentially, I don't think that anything particularly bad would have happened if I'd carried on drinking, but I don't think anything particularly good would have happened either. I think this last 14 months, I would have treaded water and I wouldn't have moved forward. Actually, what's happened since I gave up booze is that my relationship is better. My relationship with my friends and my family is better. I'm there for people more. My business is going really well because I'm awake, I'm motivated, I've got a clear head, I've got clarity of where I want things to go. Where am I going?
Would you like me to rein it back in, Ben, as assistant producer?
Please do.
I want to pick you up on something that you just said. Yes, my story is really, really common. That glass of wine every night becomes a bottle of wine a night, becomes a bit more, and then weekends you're ramping it up. Yes, we've heard from people who message us a lot who can so relate to Freddie's story as well. And we are obviously examples of how everything can change. I think your story, though, has really struck a chord with a lot of people because you were sort of in the middle, like you say, that grey area drinking, that middle lane drinking. And for that reason alone, the fact that you chose to give it a go, alcohol-free life, and to see and to continue to see the positive changes, I think is incredible. And the amount of messages and comments we get from people that go, bloody hell, people have watched you do it, Ben. They've heard you talking about it. And I think your story is equally important, if not more so important.
Well, I think actually people listening to this might relate to it because obviously you've been sent this by somebody who listens to Over the Influence. You're giving Sober October a go for whatever reason. You said, I'm going to do a month without alcohol. I decided to give myself, I mean, look, I didn't have an alcohol problem, but I did have a problem with alcohol. My problem was I didn't drink all the time, but when I did go out, I didn't have the off switch. I'd be drinking a pint twice as quickly as everybody else, and I wouldn't want to go home. You know, I'd want to stay out, and that was my problem with drinking. It wasn't like I was reaching for it in the morning, but when I went for it, I really went for it. Classic binge drinker, I suppose, which I think a lot of people can relate to. So I said to myself, give myself a three-month break. I was never going to go beyond 3 months. I was going to give a three-month fire break where I was going to stop drinking booze I was going to start eating better. I was going to ramp up my exercise. And I was going to have a 3-month period where I got myself back on track after the first lockdown in the UK, where I just ate and drank my way through it, didn't do any exercise, came out of it feeling fat and spotty and horrible. But then actually the 3 months, when I got to that point, I went, yep, this has been really good. Let's do 6 months. I never said I'm going to give it up forever. I got to 6 months and then went, oh, actually, this is really, I can do 12. Why not? How great would that be to say I had a whole year off alcohol? I got to 12 and then I went, actually, I'd be an idiot to go back now because I've seen so many positive changes in my life that why on earth would I reintroduce something that obviously wasn't doing me any good? Anyway, another long intro.
I love it. Freddie, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, I was going to say I think Ben's story is very common. And I get, I had someone reach out to me on Facebook just yesterday saying, October's coming up. I've heard about you guys. I kind of like your vibe, but then I realised I was from the 1970s. And people say, look, I kind of get it. I'm not, I'm not tongue banging a vodka bottle at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I don't have a serious problem. And, at 39, I'm happy to tongue bag anything, let alone a bottle of vodka. But anyway,
is that a phrase?
I think it's a Freddie phrase.
I love it.
But we all know what he's on about, don't we? We all understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Dear God. Trademark
that, mate.
Dear God.
And he was like, look, I kind of get it. I know, everyone's sort of like, yeah, I know what it is. Drinking a bit less is good for me. I sort of see the benefits, but this is really bad for an alcohol-free podcast. But they're like, but I kind of really like alcohol. And do I have to, and I'm worried if I do this, I'm going to have to quit forever. And I was like, no. And that's why I love Over the Influence. And a lot of people do stop drinking for good and they say never again. But as I say, it's all about helping people to drink differently. And that's why Over the Influence, I believe, has been so successful, apart from all of us being extremely, glamorous and charming and witty and everything else.
Obs.
We're not going to shove it down your throat. We're not going to be like, alcohol is bad. You will never touch the bottle again. We're just like, look, we tell it how it is. We keep it fresh.
How old are you? What's wrong with you?
We're like the butchers of sobriety. We only deliver the freshest cuts, bruv. And
he's had too much caffeine, Ben.
So anyway,
you're nearly 40, Freddie. You're not allowed to do that anymore. I know, I am nearly 40.
I can't get away with that. What am I trying to say? We tell it how it is. And we say, look, we're not going to tell you alcohol is bad. We're not going to say you must never drink again. It's all about drinking differently. And it's about whether it's taking a break for October, for, 2 months, for 100 days, for 6 months, for a year. Look, I've been sober for almost 1,000 days now. And I've said before on Over the Influence, I can't, hand on heart, tell you right now that I'm never going to drink again. What I can say is that I've got a number of business goals, financial goals, fitness goals that I want to hit. And I know that if I want to hit those goals and live the life that I dream of, then I can't be drinking right now. And if I ever hit those goals, then maybe, who knows, maybe I will have a glass of champagne or something. But until then, I know I can't. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be scary. Take the fear out of it. Stop thinking, oh shit, does this mean I never have to drink again? Just do it for the month and then see where you're at. And if you quite like it, then do it for 100 days. Doesn't have to always be this shit, scary, goodbye to alcohol forever. All the other podcasts and sobriety things talk about that. We don't. That's why we're different. That's why we're number one. And that's why we help people all around the world get over the influence.
Boom!
You can tell I'm waking up now. My cup of tea's going down.
Wait, what are you going to be like in half an hour? That was awesome. I mean, Shaz, what are we going to do on this episode then? Because this is about people who are trying Sober October, isn't it? We're going to give our tips, first of all.
Yes. Can I be controversial? I'm not sure you're going to like this, but I can... Well, we're all about honesty at Over the Influence, aren't we? As I was saying at the beginning of the intro, I don't think I talked about how much I drank, really. I got to the point where I was a daily drinker because I was wine o'clock, glass of wine at night. Oh, make it two. Well, bloody hell, let's finish the bottle because that's only three glasses. Three large glasses, let me tell you. And when that ran out, I might just have a vodka snifter, you know, because it'd be terrible to open a second bottle on a school night and maybe just another. And then before you know it, waking up on the settee at 3 o'clock in the morning. Not great. Blah, blah, blah. Fast forward to weekends and ramp it up, you know, even more and start a bit earlier. 'Cause weekend, all the excuses under the sun. So when I have attempted Sober October in the past, I have done it because when I set out to do something, I do it, which is why I'm still not drinking now. But come November, I only ever saw it as a 30-day challenge, and I was clinging on for dear life during October. And, you know, sometimes I attempted it in January, but probably never got past day 4 or 5 because January is just shit. So back to Sober October, I would cling on for dear life, have a face like a slapped arse, stay in, be miserable, just think about everything I was missing out on. This is just so awful. This is just so difficult. Why would anybody do this? And I would get to the 1st of November, which is my birthday month, and then it would begin. And I would undo 30 days of sobriety, probably within a week or two, crash through November, back to square one, hurtle into December, Christmas party season, and there it is again, the hangover hamster wheel of hell. If you are listening to this now and you are going to try Sober October, amen. Absolutely every credit. Do it, do it, do it. But I would set you a little bit of a more difficult challenge, maybe, and I would urge you, honestly, to do what Ben has done and try October, November and December, which is 90 days or thereabouts. If you go for the 100, you'll get your Queen of Sobriety postcard in the post, handwritten by my good self. Thanks to Bloody Freddy, who put me up for this. However, I am sending postcards all over the world right now, let me tell you, if you get to 100 days, because, as Ben said just a few minutes ago, he didn't set out to do 30. He thought, no, I'll go straight for 90. And he did it. And that is where you start to really feel the changes and the joys and the unexpected joys. 30 days is brilliant. Don't get me wrong. It's a cracking start. But it's only just the beginning. You need to push through to 60 and head for 90 to really experience, I think, the true joy of alcohol-free life. And this is speaking from very, very bitter experience.
I think you're absolutely right, Shaz. And when I started, let me put it another way, the time that it actually worked to stop drinking, I went for 90 days as well. And here's the thing, I know it's difficult for a lot of people, and you know, and I talk about failing 1,000 times, and it's true, because you know, at least once a week for about 10 years, I'd be there saying, oh, you know what, I'm so hungover, I've done something stupid again. My mental health was on its ass. I felt terrible. And I was saying, right, Freddie, this is it. Sort yourself out. Sort your life out. Take a break from alcohol. And I'd do it for a few days. And then either something good would happen and I'd celebrate, or something bad would happen and I'd think, oh, I need a drink. And the weekend would come around and I'd tell myself, oh, it's okay. You know, everyone does this. It's fine. And I'd have the drink and then repeat the pattern. But something that I say a lot on Over the Influence is, it doesn't matter how many times you try this and you fail, because you only need to get it right once. So yeah, I failed 1,000 times. I got it right once. That's 1,000 to 1, and my life changed forever. And that's what it's all about. So don't beat yourself up if you've tried this in the past and it hasn't worked, or if you're going to October and you're thinking to yourself, everyone else can do this, but I can't do it because there's something wrong with me, because I can't change my behaviours, because I love it too much, or whatever story you're telling yourself. Just give it a try, honestly. Let's go for 3 months. Screw Sober October. Make it the rest of 2021. Go sober. Like, honestly, 3 months, it's 90 days of your life. And one of our episodes with Andy Ramage, I think he talks about this. If there was a pill out there that could make you happier, healthier, gain money, lose weight, sort your mental health out, sleep better, love better, make better connections with people. Everyone will be buying this thing. And that's what sobriety does. I know I sound a bit happy-clappy saying that, because for a long time, I'd be like, yeah, bloody hell, get me a drink, if you heard something like that. But I would not be in the position that I'm in if I was still drinking right now, plain and simple. So I say, yeah, follow Shaz's advice, hit that 90 days, go for the end of the year, and honestly, your life could change. And you can prove to yourself and prove to the world that it's time to be the person that you know you can be.
And it's free. Literally.
It is free. Yeah, it's totally free.
Yeah. Guys, I've been doing some maths. Do you want the maths?
Good. Okay. Are you ready for this already?
So today is the 1st of October, the start of Sober October. So it's a good idea to set yourself a target because, you know, don't say, I was talking, if you don't know, we've got an online community as well as the podcast. We've got an online community where you've got loads of extra resources. I do something called Ben's Business Lunch, which is about how someone's working or business life has changed since they gave up booze. Today I did one with a lady called Sarah Rusbach, who used to own a big recruitment company. Now she's gone into the life coaching side of things and sober coaching as well. But she gave up booze for 3 weeks. That turned into 3 months. And we were talking about how daunting it can be to don't think I'm going to give up booze forever, but how important it is to have a target. And actually, we're saying 90 days, 100 days. You can kind of decide what that is. As long as you've got something in mind and you aim for it and you can feel great when you get there. So onto the maths. 10 weeks from today is the 10th of December. So 10 weeks, that's a nice round number. 70 yep, days, like 10 that. Weeks. 12 weeks from today is Christmas Eve. So if you did 12 weeks from today, if you decided I'm going to do Sober October, then I'm going to carry it on, 12 weeks is Christmas Eve. 90 days. Now, this is when you start to get to the point where you do really start to see the benefit and the changes. And it's hugely noticeable, not just for you and you notice changes about yourself, but people start noticing around 90 days. That's the 30th of December. Ooh. But we always say 100 days here at Over the Influence. We think that is the magic number. It's triple figures. It feels amazing to hit 100 days. What a landmark to get to triple figures. If you did that, so you started today, 1st of October, you do Sober October, you push through for 100 days, that will take you to the 9th of January. Now, loads of people are doing Dry January in January. So if you decided, I've got to 100 days, if you decided to carry on and push through to the end of Dry January, you've done a third of the year alcohol-free.
That's amazing.
A third of a year. How great would that be to say? I'll tell you what, when you get there, don't say, I'm never going to drink again. When you get there, see how you feel. Make a decision when you get there. But imagine if you could do that, if you could hit 10 weeks, then you can hit 12 weeks, then you can hit your 90 days at the end of the year, then you can hit 100 days, and then you can do a third of a year. Awesome. Great.
It is awesome. And all of that, all of what you've just said, Ben, is completely achievable. It's really doable. And if you are listening to us for the first time, go back right back to the beginning where me and Freddie, we just sound a little bit scared. Hello, I'm Sharon.
Hello, Sharon. I am Freddie.
We are alcohol free.
Those were the days, weren't they?
We were so scared.
Like little sober Bambis just tottering out into the podcast forest.
Oh, but what was my point? My point was go back right to the beginning and listen to us talking about when we started our alcohol-free journeys. You know, it is terrifying and you do need a plan and you do need to plug the gap and do something different and take inspiration from other guests that, you know, we've been chatting to over the last 18 months. But just know that Ben was wary at first, thinking, what's it all about, this alcohol-free life? You know, Freddie shat himself. I was terrified at the thought of not drinking for 30 hours, never mind 30 days, never mind 90. But if you give yourself a chance, like Freddie just said, it's only 90 days out of your life. It's only 90 days. And my God, the potential to change your life is vast, and I get very excited about it, and I'm getting flushed because I'm feeling really passionate about it, and it's why we do this podcast.
Sound Rebel, the people that produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for brands. Brands who know that podcasts are the fastest growing broadcast medium in the world and who want to build their audiences online with their very own podcast.
We work with magazines, digital creators, influencers, and industry experts.
From idea development through to distribution to all of the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, we make making your podcast easy.
And tell us you heard this ad, and we'll produce your first episode for free.
So email hello at soundrebel.co.uk now, and we can get the ball rolling on your new podcast this week. Right, back to the episode.
Isn't it mad that was only 18 months ago, by the way? 18 months ago?
I know.
That was the first episode. But series one, episode one, is called Getting Started. So literally, go back. After you finish listening to this, go back and listen to series one. But since then, we've had loads of amazing guests on. We feature alcohol-free experts on our podcasts, authors, podcasters, Instagrammers. But we also feature normal people with extraordinary...
We also feature ordinary people with extraordinary...
Yes, that's the one. Ordinary people with extraordinary stories. Well, what were your favourite episodes, guys? Just in terms of kind of go back and listen to series one, but then what would you pick out from series two and then series three that never ended?
So still doing Freddie's rubbing his chin. He's having a think. So while he's just doing his chin, by the way, while he's doing that.
We are on Zoom, so you never know.
You can have a quiet there with Fred.
Yeah,
alcohol-free life is exciting.
Yeah, over the influence, late night special where that sort of thing happens.
And I'm not even lying when I say every single episode is brilliant. Honestly.
Bit of yourself.
If you don't, you know. Produces some myself. It is, and you know why? It's, as you just said then, Ben, it is ordinary people sharing their extraordinary stories, which just gets me every time because somebody listening will relate to that story. It is the big wigs in the alcohol-free world, Andy Ramage, Craig Beck, Claire Pooley. My memory's shot, by the way.
William Porter.
Obs, he's one of my favourites.
You want to hear Shazza flirting for an hour? Listen to that episode.
Well, you know.
Hi, William.
Hi. It was wonderful.
I had to wash my ears out after that. It was with the
me and William had a great time.
Was fizzing across the airwaves.
One-sided sexual tension, I think. Sorry to...
I'll move on quickly.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
They were all brilliant. But you know what I loved about it? Aside from the episodes being just full of superb information and honesty and inspiration, our guests, I think, enjoyed it just as much as we did. And the feedback we get from these people, you know, these game changers in the alcohol-free world, they go, oh, my God, that was my most favourite podcast episode I have ever done. I love what you guys are doing. I love your vibe. I like your energy. And it's things like that that make me go, yes, yes, yes. And this is why we will sing about sobriety week in, week out. And if you are listening for the first time, seriously, just go back and fill your boots. There is loads to go at. Too many. I can't choose a favourite. William Porter.
What's your faves, Freddie?
I've always got to say the episode with Nick Kosir was pretty awesome.
I loved him.
The dancing weatherman, the Instagram and TikTok sensation with 4.5 million followers, I believe he's got. Yeah, I think that episode was so fun and so funny and so down to earth and really insightful for people as well. And it was a bloody, bloody good laugh as well. So that's got to be mine. There were also, you know, and Andy Ramage is a key one, but I love our episodes with, you know, with our everyday guests. So people like, you know, Dell's episode wasn't always the easiest listen, but it was an iconic episode. We had, you know, Charlie Martina, the 20-something student who decides to stop drinking, which is a really brave thing to do, especially being at uni and surrounded by alcohol and everything else. So yeah, we've got a real kaleidoscope of stories out there. So I recommend people ideally start listening from the start, but yeah, otherwise, yeah, people like Nick Kosir, like Andy Ramage, like Charlie, dive in, have a listen, and yeah, you'll without blowing my own trumpet on Zoom or off Zoom, you'll see why we're number one with the guests that we get.
And it's
she's
because
amazing,
he would.
Charlie. She's like the fact that she's given up alcohol so early in her life is seeing the benefits. You know, it's branded by student unions and parties and 4 o'clock in the morning finishes. I'd also, Paul Locke is one of my favourite ones. Paul Locke is a fella who, he's an artist, but he didn't know that he could even paint until he gave up booze, which is just amazing. Andrew and Johnny Dickin, back in series two, a father and son, who the dad gave up booze and the son was basically talking about the differences and the changes he saw in his dad and how their relationships improved, which is awesome. Ian Thirlbeck, Mr. 365, that episode's called. Ian is a normal fella from the Northeast who gave up booze, and he always cared what other people thought, Ian, throughout his whole life. The confidence that he's now got, like, he's a member of our community, we see him all the time. Amazing man, so inspirational. Give that one a go. Susan Laurie. God, I could keep going. Benjamin Owen recently, one of my favourites. Mm. Benjamin Owen, who's a coach who is the Fast Way to Fitness, is that right, Freddie?
Yeah. He's
up in North Wales. He just like drops an amazing quote every 2 minutes in that episode. Mm. Go and listen to that one next, actually. Bear in mind, it's just the one below this. It's really great.
And another one, now we're all on a roll. We're like, oh, this is very like a self-congratulatory, isn't it? Where we're all like, oh, and do you remember that other brilliant thing we did? Oh, yes. And then that brilliant, oh, yeah. That's what we do, basically. It's like a massive high five on, oh, aren't we brilliant? Another one, I'll tell you, that was really brilliant was Sober Fishy. Do you remember that one? That was
amazing.
That was very, very hilarious. And because it had the, I was weirdly chuckling to myself to this the other day when I was walking the kids to school, and I don't know why it sticks in my head, but our conversation about the magic rabbit, which took me a totally different direction to where I thought it would. So yeah, there's a tip. If you want to find out about the magic rabbit and why Shazza in particular is such a big fan, then definitely listen to that episode.
So if you are setting out today, it is the 1st of October. The first thing to know is that you can absolutely do it. I mean, Sober October, it's only 4 weeks. Yes, we keep banging on and saying, yes, go for a little bit longer. But start with those 4 weeks, okay? It is only 4 weeks of your life. I'm really passionate about being brave and about being strong and about trying really, really hard not to care what people think, because if it is that first weekend and you're going out with your mates and you're getting a load of stick, just be prepared. Go out if you want to. Get your alcohol-free drinks at the bar. Stay in if you want to. Make up some rubbish excuse. What matters is that you are doing this for you. You can do it. It's all about you. Be brave. Have balls. Know you can do it. Say no to people and try not to care what people think. And you can absolutely do it.
Oh, I was very impressed with that. Shaz, I think I might follow that advice myself.
Thanks,
love. So I would say, look, here's where we're a bit controversial. It's not about willpower. It's not, many people think, and I thought this for a long time, it's about willpower, where you've got, like, you know, the bottle of wine or the beer in the fridge and you're in the lounge and you're going, oh, shit, I shouldn't. Be drinking that, but I kind of want to drink it, but I know I shouldn't, because it's Sober October, but I really want to drink it, but I know I shouldn't, but I've had a really tough day. Oh no, what do I do? And it turns into this massive battle of the wills. I tell you what, if it's about willpower, you will never win, I promise you. So how do you stop it being about willpower? And this was the real light bulb moment for me, because I tried to use willpower and I'd failed all those times. So what you have to do is work out what you want your life to be like. So what is that dream life? And we don't have to go all bloody Tony Robbins and happy clappy and dreaming of Lamborghinis and mansions and everything else. If you want to, that's fine, obviously. Just think about, at the end of this 100 days, what are your fitness goals? What are your relationship goals? Maybe you want to sleep better. Maybe you want to work better. Maybe you want to live better. Maybe you want to love better. Whatever it is you want to do, that is what you're going for. So you have to accept in your head, like I still do. Everyone wants a drink. I want a drink every bloody day. I still do. But the thing is, I want that new life more. So I want my fitness goals, my financial goals, my business goals, all of that stuff. I want that more than I want to drink. And I know if I want that stuff, I can't drink right now. And that's the switch you have to make. So stop making it about willpower. Start defining. Just write it down on a piece of paper if you need to. Start defining what you want more than you want to drink. And that can be a game changer.
Ben, what would your top tip be?
You know what? We have been banging on about how you see the real, true, life-changing benefits after 100 days. But you do still see benefits by just doing the month. Like, if you're doing Sober October, my tip would be to use the time and use the energy. Because you aren't going to be hungover. So that's, you know, how many hours on the sofa on a Sunday. You aren't going to be in the pub, probably. So you got that time to do other things where usually you'd be sitting and drinking. Use the time, use the energy to do other things that are good for you as well. So, for example, you've been thinking for ages that you need to start eating better. But use Sober October. Yeah, Sober October is about giving up the booze. But use that to start eating better as well. You're not going to be pissed and wanting a kebab. You're not going to be hungover and craving a pizza. So use this month to get the eating better. Start the workout routine. Like, I would, if you told me 18 months ago that I'd be doing an Instagram workout every day, like, you're a liar. I'm not going to do an Instagram workout every day. You know, again, it's that same thing. You've got the time. You've got the energy. You sleep better. Almost immediately, I found. I know it's not the same for everybody, but for me personally, literally straight away, slept better. So start doing other things that are good for you, because then by the end of the month, you won't have just say, oh yeah, I had a break from alcohol. You'd have started other good habits off as well, because alcohol, giving up alcohol really is just the beginning. We say this all the time in our community. It sets you off into other, better, more positive habits as well. So use the time, use the energy, enjoy it. You know, it's great. Being without booze is awesome. You feel awake, you feel clear, you feel, it's great.
You sound like me.
I know.
Alcohol-free life, it's great. It's fantastic.
The transformation is complete. You've done it, Chaz. This is the moment you finally converted it.
It's brilliant. That is the best thing I've ever heard. I love all your top tips. Freddie, thank you so much. Ben, that was a cracking piece of advice. And if you are doing this today, starting today, go and have a look at overtheinfluence.co.uk. There's a stack of free resources on there. Have a read of the blogs. Have a look at some of our member stories. And if you want to check in at any point during October, just fire us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. Use the chat message box on the website, overtheinfluence.co.uk, or just DM us on the socials. And we promise, I'll do it personally, we will get back to you. Just know you can do this. You've got our full support.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you. Meet Ian.
Hi guys, I'm Ian. 370 something days alcohol free as of today. Love OTI, love Shaz, Ben and Freddie. Really speak my language. Find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think, unfortunately, in today's world, I think you can often feel like a bit of an outcast when you take the break and actually stop drinking. And therefore, it's really important to know that there's thousands of people like you out there who feel the same. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think. And I think, therefore, just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and be part of the Sober Rebellion.